Is this thing on? Are we good?
Yeah, now we're good. Now it's happening.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah? Mic's working?
Yeah.
The show's brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Trade deadline in 3 hours at 6 o'clock. Should the Nationals trade Mackenzie Gore? I feel like I'm going to irritate some people today because I now am going to go hard in the paint here. I think they need to trade Mackenzie Gore.
Need to?
Need to.
Hmm.
I think they should trade Mackenzie Gore, and it would be a misstep not to. Now, my first order of business here is to just provide a caveat, which is to say, I love Mackenzie Gore. I was in on Mackenzie Gore before it was cool. Okay, this is a former number 3 overall pick with the Padres. He was one of my favorite young pitchers in baseball. We had him on the show. People might forget this. The day the Nats traded for him in the Juan Soto deal, he actually called into our show because I had a little relationship with him from doing my prospect show in the past. And I think he is a stud. When he pitches at home, I go to those games. I am a huge believer. I think there's a potential that he turns into a legitimate ace. You know, if there's 20 of those in baseball, he could be one of those top 20 pitchers in the sport. I think on a first division World Series caliber team right now, he's probably more of a number 2 starter. But from the left side to throw 97, to have the secondary stuff that he has, there's a reason he's an all-star. He's gotten better every single year. I love the player. I believe in the player. I think whoever trades for him, the Cubs, the Yankees, the Tigers, whoever it would be, is doing the correct thing. By the way, if I needed an arm, I would 100% trade for Mackenzie Gore.
Yeah.
I'm getting 3 postseason runs out of him. I'm getting 2.5 years out of him. I believe in the player. To be redundant here, let me say it one more time. Mackenzie Gore guy. He is advised by Scott Boras, and he will be leaving in free agency after 2+ seasons from now. He is not a guy, even if he wasn't advised by Boras, that I think is looking to sign a long-term extension here. He's looking to get to market. And because of that, you owe it to yourself when you're not close enough to be a World Series contender during his next 2+ seasons. This year's a lost cause. Even if you have a big offseason next year, you're trying to get over 500. At best, that means in 2027, likely a work stoppage season anywhere where you're going to miss some of Mackenzie Gore's final year as it is. You have one chance to make the playoffs and go on a run with Gore before he would leave via free agency at the end of that season. If my calculations are all correct, and I think they are, this is a no-brainer. You flip him now, you get a really quality return of 3 or 4 players, including 2 high-end prospects, and you add legitimate value to your system, including a couple close to the big leagues, high-end minor league talents for Gore right now, going into a season next year, with or without him, where you're not going to make the playoffs. I think we're in no-brainer territory here. And I know it's going to be painful for the fan base. I know people are tired of players getting traded that are really good. One of your 2 all-stars this year getting flipped again. I get that. But the job of the front office, Mike DiBartolo and company, is to do what's best for the team in the long term to make them a World Series champion again as soon as possible. And I think moving Gore gives them a better chance to be that type of team in 3 years than keeping him.
If it was realistic that this ownership group would all of a sudden look in the mirror and go, oh my God, it's our fault. It's us. We'll change immediately. Then maybe, forget about the work stoppage coming for a second, you might have 2 years of being really competitive. And if they were to or would have spent money this past offseason, or they're going to now the offseason of 25 before the 26 and 27 seasons, they'll do what's necessary throughout the organization. If you really believe that, then maybe there's a case where you go, our window, and I put that in quotes, is opening up starting next year. I'd rather have 2 years of Mackenzie Gore leading me through that window, maybe get into a playoff series one time. Now, back here in the real world, where that's not happening, that's not possible, and that's not prudent, you must act accordingly. To act accordingly is to say, we're not going to be good enough to warrant keeping a guy who will leave here at the end of his contract time. That if you accept all those things as fact, then you get the most value you can, and that's right now this minute.
I'm going to give some names kind of to what you're talking about. If the ownership group internally right now thought, we're about to have a huge offseason. We're about to spend like crazy. And they're going to go get Kyle Tucker, the best outfielder and bat on the market, and give him $300 million. and they're going to pay Dylan Cease to come in here to be a co-number two or whatever with Mackenzie Gore and to be the fellow frontliner, let's just say. Or maybe even more exciting for me, like Michael King would come in here and be Gore's number two to bolster the rotation. And they're going to bring in Josh Naylor to play first base because they'll flip Nathaniel Lowe before 6 o'clock, let's say. And then they're going to fix their bullpen. Just an aggressive, legitimate Dodgers, Phillies, Mets-like offseason. Then keep Mackenzie Gore because you're trying to win next season. But that's not the world we're living in. That is not the reality. They live in a reality where they don't keep or pay their veterans that are Boris advised before they hit the market, and it's not completely their fault. Everyone wants to scream at the learners, you got to pay Gore, you got to pay James Wood. They can't. They're not allowed to by way of the agent saying, we're going to market. It takes two to tango. Now, they might not anyway. That is a whole nother can of worms, okay? But let's say that they were Steve Cohen. They couldn't get these guys under contract right now. It just wouldn't happen. Doesn't matter what the checkbook, the check that they're signing looks like. But if that was the offseason plan, I could get behind keeping Gore. Because you're going to be an 85-win team maybe next year. And having Gore on that 85-win team gives you a better chance to be a wild card team. And who knows what happens when you get in, see 2019. But that's not the reality. So it's 2 years left. Next year, you're almost certainly not making the wild card conversation. You're just trying to get back to 500. 2 seasons from now in a perfect world with a couple of good drafts and a couple of good off seasons, spending a little bit of money because it's not going to be a lot of money, but a reasonable amount of money, still a spike in what you're spending. Now, 2 seasons from now, after the work stoppage, hopefully a short one, you can compete. But you're down the stretch with Gore as a free agent, and then he walks. They've done a nice job, Danny, trading things that are not bolted down so far for decent returns of minor leaguers. Ahmed Rosario, Andrew Chafin, Luis Garcia the pitcher, Michael Soroka, Kyle Finnegan, all pending free agents. They have brought back minor leaguers, arms, Clayton Beter, lefty Jake Eater, Josh Randall, RJ Sales, infielders, Sam Brown, Ronnie Cruz, outfielders, Braum Martinez, and Christian Franklin. 8 players coming back to add to the minor league system for the 5 rentals that they have traded. That's smart, good business. Not knocking them, but they haven't brought anything back of note.
Right.
There's a really good chance that not one of the players that they brought back in any of these deals ends up being a super impactful major leaguer on a Nats team that's contending in a couple of years. It doesn't mean they weren't good deals. It just means you're not getting blue chippers back when you trade the ghost of Kyle Finnegan or 36-year-old rental Andrew Chafin, who looks like Ricky Bobby's cousin. Eastbound and down. What's that guy's name? Kenny Powers. You're just not getting much back for those guys. There's one way to get a good return here, and it's Mackenzie Gore. That's the return you're going to get before 6 o'clock.
And we'll always have fans in our mentions at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, who just can't handle that. And I get it, because your tickets are already paid. It's not like the Nats are going to give you, you know, a discount on your Shake Shack when you go in there when it's no longer Gore pitching and it's some 4A Freddy. But what's the point of all this? Right. The point of a baseball decision is let's make the best one for the chance to do, as you said, try to be really, really good again and to open up the window for us to be really highly competitive for multiple seasons at a time. Not one weird flare up like the football team would do when they would win 3 games in a row, 5 games in a row, 4 games in a row, go right back to being 6-10 again. That's not the point. The point is to have a core of young players, supplement with some veterans, not to just get to 500 and pat ourselves on the back, but to be really good, to go through what we frankly just did that culminated in a World Series in 2019, which is a long time ago now, but you're talking about an average of 90, 91, 92 wins per season where, yeah, sometimes it goes bad and everybody's mad at each other. You win 83. Sometimes it goes great. You win 98. That's the range. That's where you are trying to get to. This is the path to do it. I'm sorry it sucks right now. I got news. It sucks right now. It already does. We got that covered. Right? When you go to the ballpark, especially if it's a day game, you're going to catch an L. I don't care who's pitching. They're halfway on the bus, dude. They pack their gear before the game starts. They're 13-2,000 during day games. They play games at home sometimes during the day. It's already so bad. It will get worse without Mackenzie Gore in the short term. But again,
if Gore
what's the
today
point?
Wanted to sign a 6-year deal at, I'm just making a number up top of my head, but at $180 million for $30 million a year, I would do it. I'm not trying to trade anyone that has value. I'm not trading C.J. Abrams, who has 3 years of control left after this season, because I believe there's a real chance that I could make the playoffs a couple times in those 3 years if they actually started spending. I certainly would have a chance 3 years from now in 2028 to have Abrams be a part, you know, an impact piece, but he's not a Boris guy. You might actually be able to get a contract done with C.J. Abrams. And by the way, Grant the Bartolo over here running the shop, I am talking with C.J. Abrams right now, this moment, about an extension. I don't care if he's my shortstop long term or if I have to move him to second or if he's playing center field at some point. None of that matters to me. He is a major league caliber offensive and base running threat who deserves to be here and paid handsomely for a long time to come. And because he's one of the rare non-Boris guys like Trey Turner that you've had around here that maybe, just maybe, you could get a deal done with, I would be doing everything in my power to do that. But we live in a world right now as fans, you said it stinks, that isn't fun. I mean, did you see the details on when they traded Kyle Finnegan that came out? Finnegan's one-year deal for $6 million was deferred over basically a three-year span, 25, 26, and 27. A one-year deal for $6 million for a major league reliever, who, by the way, was scheduled to make more than that, but they waived him and risked not having him at all on a bad bullpen so that they could save a couple million dollars. But then they deferred that over 3 years. I mean, that is wild work, bro, that you're going to sign a guy for $6 million on a one-year deal and defer it over $2 million at a time for 3 years. That is almost as embarrassing as, like, when you're down on your luck and you go into that grocery store and you're paying with the pennies and it's like, I got 67 cents, and you're, like, looking around. Like, this is the ownership version of that.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? But this is where we are. I think they got to make the move today. I don't think they're going to, for the record. Trade deadline is 2 hours and, you know, 45 minutes away. I don't think ownership would sign off on a Gore deal. My guess is they could get a good offer. I don't know if they'll get a great offer, the one they want. You know, if you're holding out with, you're trading them to the Tigers, you're asking for Kevin McGonigle, the best hitter in the minor leagues. They're probably not giving him to you. If they could get him, let's all just take our clothes off. But let's say you're holding out for two of their top five prospects, and Detroit's going, no, we can't do that. All right, then you could hang on to him. That's fine. Call the Cubs, call the Yankees, what have you. Maybe they don't get the perfect offer. They want 100 cents on the dollar or 110 cents on the dollar. That could be the reason they don't make the trade. But I think even if they get the right offer, I'm just not sold. You go to ownership right now that you can get everyone on the same page to say yes, number one. And number two, that they would risk whatever the rest of this season looks like without him. You've already lost Soroka from your rotation.
Yep.
They've traded three relievers from their bullpen, from a terrible bullpen.
Yep.
Who is even filling out this big league roster for the rest of the year? They've got to add dudes to their 40-man. Maybe a couple of these 22-year-old pitchers you brought over who have been in like single-A and double-A get called up. I'm guessing Clayton Beter gets into the big league sooner rather than later. We saw Zach Brixey was elevated to the majors yesterday, who's really struggled. I mean, it's going to be a long rest of the way.
That's my point, with or without Mackenzie Gore. But I'm with you. I don't think it happens. I think it's a PR decision. Now, I'm not talking about like our friend Kyle Brostowitz and the guys that, like, you know, run Nats PR, but I think it's from an ownership level where they're going, we're taking too much heat as it is. We can't do it. We can't risk 500 less people coming to games when it's really, really bad in August and September. We can't. And so I think they'll put the kibosh on any move that gets made, where baseball people will have something set and they'll be told no because of whatever optics.
I don't know enough about the money situation either, but money could actually be important in terms of like cash and revenue coming in. I know the Learners do very well in the big picture, but when you're deferring one-year deals for $6 million, they might not actually feel like they have the luxury of having several thousand fewer people at games.
They don't have cash on hand. This has been the thing for years, mostly because of the TV deal that was such a hot pile of garbage.
So what does that mean? Their money's tied up in their assets? Or?
Yeah, so like when, let's say you're a billionaire, congratulations. It's not as if you go to the bank account, you do check balance, and it says a billion.
Correct.
Your billion is in buildings and your worth is in this thing. Whereas the way I think of it, not to be morbid or glib, but if somebody kidnapped your loved one and was like, you have to liquidate every dollar you have, that's what you could come up with, right? As a ransom. It doesn't mean that's what you have. The business operating part, They don't have enough cash coming in. TV deals are supposed to be $10, $20, $30, $40, $50, $60 million in cash. That's your payroll. That's this paycheck. That's the bats, the balls, the rosin bag, the pine tar, everything that your expenses are coming through. It's not. They don't have enough cash to operate.
You remember the Netflix special on the Red Sox? Did you guys watch this? I don't know if Clara I know did. Daris, did you watch it yet? You would love it. So the Netflix followed around the Boston Red Sox from last year. It was a 10 out of 10.
So good.
But there was a portion of that where you saw their accounting person going over like how much they spend on everything. And it's like, we spent $472,000 on baseballs this year. We spent $562,000 on bats this year. Like, to your point, all of that is actual checks that get stroked in addition to what we think about. Now, again, they're doing just fine. But, yeah, when you're deferring money on one-year $6 million deals, I just have questions about the
Joey Gallo
health of the cash flow.
Less than that for 2 years or 3 years, whatever the hell it was. Yeah, I mean,
it's multiple times they've done that.
Yeah.
Two straight off seasons.
This is the crux of it.
And all of everything we see is they're not spending any money. And then when they do spend a very little bit of money, they're like spreading it out over years. I just know, I'm not saying they don't have money. I'm saying that makes it look like you don't have any money. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like that would be the equivalent of like, I got a bunch of bills piling up that I haven't paid on the kitchen table, but also, I stopped doing my lawn care, decision that I mean, $35 for them to come from Kingstown Lawn Care and all these different things. Maybe I do have money sitting in the bank, but it would seem like I don't. And that's kind of what it feels like for me.
Yeah, this is that for you and me, this is like going to get a Snickers bar and paying in 3 week installments.
I am putting my Happy Meal on layaway.
Yeah.
I'm going, I got a dollar now. Don't worry. I'm going to have a dollar when I come in next week. And after five visits, I'm going to pay you these $5. That's what they're doing with Kyle Finnegan's 3 years of deferment. But back to the topic at hand, I actually want to hear from people on this. We had a bunch of interested Nats callers yesterday closing in on the deadline. Want to open up the phones for the first time today. On the listener lines at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I'm hoping to get people on both sides of this because I do think there are plenty of fans out there that wouldn't want to trade Gore. And I want to hear your argument against it because I think this is a very, very easy decision at this point. If they can get the right deal, they should do it. But if you're unwilling to sign off on that, why is it? And maybe that's the number one question. If you are the GM, you're Mike DiBartolo today. With your first chance to make a big-time trade, would you trade Mackenzie Gore, yes or no? 800-636-1067. Do you think ownership will allow him to make that trade? You're listening to Grant and Danny on Trade Deadline Day. Trade deadline's at 6 p.m. This is The Fan. Major League Baseball trade deadline is today. The Nats have a decision to make. Pretty easy to trade players that aren't under team control beyond this season that are headed for free agency, and they've done that. Ahmed Rosario, Andrew Chafin, Luis Garcia, Michael Soroka, Kyle Finnegan. They're going to trade Josh Bell almost certainly today as well, who is not bolted down beyond this season. More interestingly, do they find a dance partner for Nathaniel Lowe? I was told yesterday that if they can find value, they will trade him. They're not trying to hold on to him, but the market doesn't seem to be all that sizable from what I can gather. But the big question is Mackenzie Gore. Would you trade him, yes or no? 800-636-1067. I would go further than just saying I would. I think it's a no-brainer. As painful and as annoying as that is, after he just made an all-star berth, and in addition to being an all-star, he's gotten better every single season, and I think there's still one more gear to find here. He's gone from an ERA of 4.5 to 4.4 to 3.9 to this year, despite two really bad starts lately, still better at 3.8. I think eventually he's going to be a 3.25 kind of starting pitcher in the big leagues. This is someone who still has a chance to make one more leap. But Danny, I think he's gone in a couple of years. I don't think they're going to be that good in those next couple of years. And if you trade him right now, you could probably get the biggest return, maybe outside of the Padres-A's deal for Mason Miller today and a starting pitcher, of any deal that happens at this deadline. And I would be interested in doing that. Because here's the other kind of secret, the low-key part of Nats baseball right now. The system's just not in a great place. You've graduated a bunch of guys this year, including recently Brady House. Travis Sakura needs Tommy John surgery, your number one prospect. Arlene Susana, your other pitching prospect, who's very inconsistent with throwing strikes but is electric, has had arm problems this year. Your best bat is a 19-year-old in single A. Alex Clemmie pitched in the Futures game, is volatile balls and strikes thrower, has had a really good year when he's dialed in, but he's a 19-year-old in A-plus ball, I guess. They don't have anyone close.
Yeah, there's no reinforcements that are knocking on the
door. Really help him. Cade Cavalli pitches again tonight. I don't know what he has to do to get called up. I know he hasn't pitched great, but like they're going to be calling up Shinsuke Ogasawara again. Like he's going to be back in the big leagues. Why is Shin back and Cade Cavalli is going to throw five innings tonight? I don't understand that, but that's what I'm hearing is going to happen. So where's the help coming from? They just don't have a whole lot in the system. There's a few guys like Cavalli, Hassel, Yoandy Morales who might be in the big leagues in the next few months to early next season, but they need to add impact players to this system. Here's a way to do it.
The way that you could view this is almost like punishment for this past offseason. If they were pretty good, if they were decent,
yeah,
you'd go, hey, the window's starting. I'm not talking about wild card this year, but being in the hunt, right? Ended up finishing 7-8 games back in a wild card chase, maybe 81, 82 wins when the dust all settles. That wouldn't be the end of the world. That'd be a violent leap forward for a group that's lost a whole bunch of games over the last several seasons. And now you're really starting to build something. And in that regard, you'd go, no way you trade Mackenzie Gore. Because when they're good, when you finally make that jump one more year or whatever, this is the frontline guy. This is the dude that in a one-game playoff might turn in that ace performance. Like, that's how good his stuff is. He could do that seven innings, no runs, you know, two hits, 8-9 strikeout type situation in a fall game. He absolutely could. He's there. He's close. The point is, you sat on your laurels this offseason. It's Paul DeJong. It's Josh Bell again. It's a couple of bullpen guys that are DFA'd already. And this is where you are. So that's your punishment. The only way to kind of get to where you want to go, which is we all want the same thing for them to be good, That's one of the levers you can pull. It's not pleasant. In fact, it's downright miserable, to be honest with you. But my point is, the misery is already here.
Let's go to the phone, see what you guys think. Let's start with Bill in Carolina, listening on the Always Free Odyssey app. You can take it with you wherever you go. Bill, would you trade Mackenzie Gore before the 6 p.m. deadline?
In a heartbeat. And I know the fans are going to hold their breath and see they're going to turn purple. And it happens in every town. It's inevitable. The fans will go cuckoo. But you think of all the boo-boos that got us into here and the fastest way out of it. I mean, you think of the Lizardos who were jettisoned, the Robbie Rays. It just goes on and on. The horrible trades that he went through in a pitcher in the Papelbon trade, that Turner for nothing, Schwarber for nothing, the Eaton trade. I think the GM should have gone to jail for that one. And then you think of the Strauss contracts and the Corbin contracts and, oh, my goodness. And then the drafting, that's the coup de grace. But look at this from Corey's perspective. He's a Boris guy. He's, 4-11 this year, and with the bums they have in the lineup, he's going to get no run support from here to eternity, and he's just not coming back. It's just the way it is. So I think you got to do it. I think you fleece the Cubs for three major league-ready guys, and you push up the rebuild by a few years. But
you certainly push up the rebuild by a year. Sorry to cut you off. Thanks for the call. We've talked about this a lot on Bust and Lose Baseball, the award-winning podcast that I do with Toby Altizer. And frankly, no better Nats podcast that I'm aware of out there than Bust and Lose Baseball, starring Toby Altizer. But Tobes is adamantly against trading Mackenzie Gore right now. I don't get it. A lot of times we see eye to eye on this. His take is you cannot allow Mike DiBartolo to make the trade as the interim general manager. I think he thinks someone else is going to come in here this offseason, and maybe that happens. I don't really get that, because DiBartolo is not like some hired gun like Charlie Casserly brought in by the NFL to help run a team for a few months. He's been here the entire time. He has the ability to... He knows everyone in the system. Like, he was helping Rizzo. He was working the phones for trades before. So that's not part of it for me, but I think that is an argument that you could make is, do you allow an interim general manager to trade your best pitcher and one of your best players.
Yeah.
It's a reasonable enough take. I don't happen to subscribe to it, but I want to throw that out there.
It's not something that I would advocate for or against, but it is a factor. In other words, when you've got at a general manager level, when you have to go to ownership to say, is this okay that I do this? Now, in general, you would let your owner know no matter what was happening. Like, if you were the boss of the team, I go, hey, boss, I'm trading Josh Bell today. That's cool, right? And you go, yep, no problem. Okay, thanks. See you, bye. But it's somebody who's that big of a deal, who's one of the centerpieces of that Soto deal that caused a lot of pain a few years ago, that's now bearing fruit, my all-star, the guy that's going to go on one of my billboards next year, one of the guys in my promos that's going to sell some tickets. You have to go to him anyway if you were a tenured GM. Now are they going to allow the interim GM that doesn't have the nameplate on the office door just yet? Are they going to let him do that? Who knows what the answer is there, but it's not something that I would advocate for. Is the person in charge of the organization making baseball decisions or not? If the answer is yes, make baseball decisions.
But that would be my takeaway, too, is if you're not empowering your general manager to run everything right now, the draft, the trade deadline, then we got much bigger issues. Because respectfully, it's not like ownership is super plugged in on the minor league system of the Chicago Cubs. They can look up the Baseball America and MLB pipeline like prospect rankings like the rest of us, but it should be this simple. The Bartolo Shalaba, the front office, comes to you and says, hey, this is a good deal, and they go, okay, cool. Let us know when the press conference is. Paul's in D.C. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Thanks for having me on.
Got it, buddy.
I want to say this. At one time, we were a competitive team. We were a competitive team that wound up winning a World Series. For the last few years, we're still at this same spot right here where we're constantly sellers. We're giving everybody individuals that, as the years go on, they become stars somewhere else. I mean, we're part of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I don't understand that. I think the learners turned a good competitive baseball team into some slop right now, and I'm telling you right now, I go back a long, long, long daggone ways, man. And this is, he's just as bad as a guy by the name of Robert Short, who moved the Washington Senators to the Texas Rangers. That's all.
Caveat
I gotta say,
being,
man,
they did win a World Series.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate the call, Paul. Let's go to Greg and Reston on Grant and Danny. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's up, guys? I think that if you look at the reality of this ownership, I don't see how it's not a must do that you need to trade him because of the activity that they seriously have a lack of. And I think my concern is if I'm worried that the learners are scared that they look at a young fan base who's never had a novelty of either baseball being back, a new stadium, generational prospects, or 10 plus years of competitiveness, and think that if they're going to admit that they're another 4 years away, if you don't think they're spending now, you think they're going to be spending if we trade a Mackenzie Gore. And my fear is that they're going to hold on to this for that reason. And we end up with like a Bradley Beal, Leonsis situation where they keep it just competitive enough. They keep these guys around too long just so they can keep the butts in the seats. And so we just keep going through this cycle over and over again until they sell the team. And I don't want to end up in that cycle where it's like, well, let's just try to win a wild card, but not really spend. And then at the same time, it's like, well, yeah, we're still just going through the same purgatory of mid of a team.
Appreciate the call.
Thanks, man.
I know that you're not getting the Soto return. That's a one-off, generational, all-time, best return ever kind of situation. But how many times have we said, can you imagine if they wouldn't have made the Soto trade? By the way, that nobody wanted them to make at that time and that fans were livid about. Because at that time, James Wood was just a kid in single A that nobody cared about, right?
Yeah, they're the Rockies without that deal.
We're going to say something similar in two or three seasons when we look back on this, in my opinion. If Mackenzie Gore just plays out the next 2 years and is a good pitcher on a bad team, think about how much further along you could possibly be had you have traded Mackenzie Gore and gotten, I'm just going to make this up now, but like Matt Shaw, your starting second baseman, the Maryland Terrapin, who's with the Chicago Cubs in their system, and Owen Casey, who's in that system, who's a power hitter who might, you know, be able to be an everyday player for them and a starter. And you get two everyday players plus some arm for the Cubs for Mackenzie Gore. It's just so much different looking 2 or 3 years from now if you get that kind of return. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kev?
Hey. Yeah, Grant, I just don't think you can sell hope if you hold on to Gore. Listen, Rizzo's fired largely because of the misses in draft and development. And some of the best players came over, as you just said, with the Soto deal. This is a similar situation in that we don't have anything. As you said, so many of the prospects have graduated. I don't think they're going to pay Gore what Boras will want in 2 years, and Gore's trade value is never going to be any higher. The other thing I'd like to mention is, didn't DeBarlo get a lot of credit for setting up the Soto deal? I read that he did. So
yeah, after he was hired. Thanks, Kev. Appreciate the call, buddy. That came out from, you know, kind of the celebration of him getting his opportunity. It was a lot of people in the organization saying he was instrumental in helping Rizzo with the Soto deal. By the way, I just got a text from our guy Valdez, who's obviously a big Orioles fan, but he makes a good point. You know, we keep thinking about the teams that have a chance to win the World Series this year. Because Gore is controllable for the next 2.5 seasons, why wouldn't other teams like Baltimore, or even the teams that might not be in play this year, but that can't go out in free agency and get a pitcher? Gore is cheap by the standards of number two starting pitching. You know what I'm saying? On the market,
yeah,
a guy like Mackenzie Gore costs you $30-some million a year. You're getting him in arb-eligible seasons where he's going to be making a pittance of that.
Yeah, this year is sub-3 in terms of his deal. It would go up, but it wouldn't be outrageous. It would be a great in terms of value for a pitcher.
Samuel Basayo coming. I don't think like Adley Rutschman's on the block, but you know, if you could get Colby Mayo or Esten Kerstad and a couple of those guys that are like frustrated non-prospects anymore in a package of 3 or 4 players, and the Orioles need a pitcher. I just think there's a huge market. It's not just the teams that are trying to win a title now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Teams like Baltimore, what an asset that is for a club that can't pay money like the Orioles for real pitching. Same as the Nats, if they were knocking on the door of competition in the playoffs, you're getting frontline starting pitching production at a huge discount. So I hadn't even thought about a team like Baltimore, but to me, there should be 7 to 10 teams that are willing to offer something significant. 3 postseasons, 2.5 years of Gore is huge. Now, maybe someone would say the Orioles, there's no reason for them to trade for him now. But that would be the type of team that actually makes a lot of sense in the offseason.
In the offseason, yeah.
And I think that's what's more likely, by the way. I think ownership says, no, we need him for the rest of the year. We need all the people to come out to games that we can. Let's revisit this in a few months. That's what I think is most likely today. Let's go to Bobby in Indiana listening on the Odyssey app. What's up?
Guys, one thing I wanted to talk about with Toby's point, I actually think he's onto something, because what if the full-time GM they hire in the offseason, first off, isn't DeBartolo, and second, does have a way to put this team together within the window that Mackenzie Gore might be able to help them? And that kind of brings me to just, how long are we doing this? How long are we going to be like, okay, we've got this person for 6 years, and then we're going to have this next person starting in 2 years for 6 years. Oops, that first person's up. We got to spin them off. Well,
until
why not just trade everybody?
That's the answer.
That is my ultimate point. I can hear the baseball argument for this trade because of the defeatist attitude we have towards the learners. We should be yelling, screaming from the rooftops every single day about how badly they are operating this team until they are gone or they change. We are letting them off the hook by going on the radio today and saying, yeah, they should do it. They should trade away the next 2+ years of this awesome pitcher that we've been waiting for, that's finally here and hitting his stride. You know, Nats fans, we're 4 years away from being 4 years away, but it's fine because we'll get the next crop of prospects. I understand the baseball wisdom because of where we're at, but we shouldn't be where we're at.
So it's a great call.
Yeah.
What you just said is 100% accurate. I think we do that a lot. I mean, I screamed in the offseason over and over again. I was furious. Start of the year, we talked about this. We regularly talk about how poorly the offseason went and how frustrating it is that they're stuck right now. Today, to me, is a day where you got to make chicken salad. Like, we could talk about the chicken ass all the time if we want to do that. Today's a chicken salad day where I am dealing with what is, not what I want it to be.
Yeah, as we talked about for years with the football team, what we absolutely could have done. Show starts at 2. You hear the music. Snyder still owns it. Ain't no point to any of this. See you guys tomorrow at 2. And just let dead air go for 4.5 hours. That's everything you just said is true. 100% right.
But I actually agree with him. And maybe today would be a day to multitask a little bit and say it is a shame and it shouldn't be this way.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. Now, I will provide this kind of aside. They wouldn't be able to pay or keep Mackenzie Gore from free agency even if they were spending money, for the record. And you would still make the case that flipping him today is better, although if they were a contending team, I guess it wouldn't be a consideration. Because other than Steven Strasburg, they have had zero ability to get any of Boris's guys to avoid the market. I don't think that's a them problem. That's a most teams problem. The Braves don't even do business with them. Straight up, the team that signs all their own guys way ahead of schedule and gets them all to team-friendly deals, they literally won't even take on Boris's players. Now, I'm not advocating doing that because he's got a lot of the best players in baseball, and I think it's a bad practice. But my point is just, when James Wood becomes a free agent, it's not going to be because the Learners didn't want to pay him. Scott Boras looks at James Wood and goes, I can do things with him nobody's ever done before. Just like he did with Juan Soto after they offered him almost $500 million. And they basically scoffed at it and said, that's close.
That's adorable. Thank you.
And by the way, they were right because he got over $700 million. So some of this is 100% a Boras thing with his players. But yes, there's no doubt. I think most people understand where we're at, that there's a major issue with ownership. My point is, if you're going to be the A's and you're going to be the Rays, we could scream about the fact that we shouldn't be. And I think we do that a lot on this show. But today, you got to do the A's or Rays thing. And you got to trade the asset for the really good young talent that comes back. This is how you win as a small market team. And I'm just trying to figure out, if you're going to be a small market team, what's the best way to go win something? This is it.
Yeah, you spend on hidden, unsexy things that you see down in the minor leagues, the player development, the weight pads, the biometric scanners, and all this other kind of stuff, because the ROI on that is really, really good. You cannot spend on major league payroll if that's who you're supposed to be. By the way, you shouldn't be that. You should be able to do both. But if you're going to go one way, you actually go that way.
Do you think they trade Gore? Maybe a different question. We can get into that next. Plus, our double play and our Beltway Blitz coming up on Grant and Danny. Every day on Grant and Danny at 3:45, we give you a double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. It is driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now is the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. Got in my car today in the driveway, and everything in my car was like thrown all around, just all over the place. And we've been looking for some paperwork at the Paulson household that we cannot find so far. And so I figured, well, maybe my wife thought for some reason it was in my glove box or in my car. So I texted her. I'm like, were you looking everywhere and just never put anything back in my car? And she's like, no. So it turns out that the body odor smell that I smelled in my car when I opened the door for the first time this morning, in addition to stuff being strewn all over my car in my driveway, was someone probably getting into my car last night and proceeding to rummage through everything. What an unsettling, terrible feeling.
Sucks, dude.
This is the second time ever that this has happened to your boy. It's not like I live in like the worst area or something. Apparently people like doing that. I don't know why. They didn't take anything that I could tell. My wife's like, what did they take? I'm like, I'm not sure, which probably means they didn't take anything that important. I also don't keep much in my car overnight, in fairness. They chose not to take my pens and my gum and my deodorant and some of the stuff I have, but just all over the seats, just thrown everywhere. That is a bad feeling.
It's awful. It sucks. It just there's so much about it. We talked about this earlier today, and I'm legitimately sorry that happened to you, man. It is so annoying. It's unsettling, I think, is the word that you use, which I think is right on. Just the idea that someone's so comfortable that they would just do that. I mean, I don't know.
They had to be sitting in there for a while because I legitimately could smell like body odor. And I was like, someone
there's
who
a lead
smelled,
behind there, yeah.
Someone who smelled really bad was the culprit.
And so whenever
that's my lead right now,
yeah. So my kids and I just out of habit now, having had my car broken into enough times over the years and in various places, not just in front of my house or wherever, where we're just going inside the store for 5 minutes or whatever, and I go, put your backpack in the trunk, and they're always like, whoa, what do I have to do that? I'm like, just that's what we're doing. I want no visual temptation. I want no anybody walking by just happens to peek in and see, hey, there might be something worth taking in there. Because, again, right before all of my finals, I mean, how's this for one of those dog get my homework type excuses? Right before a finals season, I visited some buddies in New York. Didn't even think about it. I had my backpack full of, like, notebooks and textbooks. How disappointed were those burglars? They smashed the window. Right. Like, what's in the backpack? Oh, this guy's hastily jotted down ADD notes. This guy has no idea what he's doing. He's a terrible student. But I'm trying to explain that to my professors, and they're like, yeah, right, buddy. But, yeah, I mean,
what
it's awful.
What do we think this person's looking for, though? Like, I'm not suggesting
valuables.
They should take pens, but what do you think? I'm just keeping, like, jewelry
yeah,
in my glove
do.
Box?
People do. Whether it's a wallet you leave out there, it's cash for tolls, or who knows? They're looking for valuables.
Well, there's zero in my car.
Yeah.
You came to the wrong place. It is time for Danny's double play.
Oh, Randy Duye, movie review time. Saw Fantastic Four First Steps last night. A lot of this movie works. It is a good job by Marvel in a lot of ways. The super futuristic but retro feel to it is really, really good. So it's a society in the 1960s that's still doing what we were doing, but they've got some flying cars. And it's one of the alternate universe type deals, Earth 818. So the Fantastic Four are already established as heroes. Everybody likes them. Pretty good. So that they do a good job with each of the characters. They give them nice little arcs. It was fun. Pedro Pascal is great. Vanessa Kirby is great at acting. She's really, really good as an actress.
I love Vanessa Kirby as an actress. She is such a good actress. Big Vanessa Kirby fan as an actress.
Joseph Quinn is a good Johnny Storm. Just in, kind of in his way. A little bit petulant, a little bit whiny, but at the same time, heart of gold kind of a guy. So overall, the movie is fine. You know my deal, Grant. Whatever your rules are, whatever rules you tell me of the world we live in, you and me are doing Harry Potter, we live in a world where there's some wizards and you got some magic and you can do some cool stuff. You're in a real world, then you can't do BS. You can't just sort of change, right? You establish the biggest of the big bads, Galactus. I'm not spoiling anything. Everyone knows Galactus is coming. They show you in the trailers, they show you in every preview. Galactus. What does Galactus do, Grant? What does Galactus do?
I don't know.
He eats planets. Mm. If he's big enough and strong enough and powerful enough to have a celestial hunger, the ability to eat planets, what do you eat? Wings. You eat roasted Brussels sprouts you think are really excellent.
Yeah.
You eat a lot. You eat steak.
Steak.
And you
steak.
Stab it with your fork and saw it real quick, and then you're done, and you ask everyone questions about their meal.
Big steak guy.
Imagine a steak for you. That's a planet for Galactus. You can't just have Galactus go, oopsie daisy, I'm fighting somebody that is really tough. No, he eats planets. You can't just have him get his ass kicked. Galactus eats planets. So because Galactus eats planets, I'm not spoiling anything. All right. Point is 6.5 out of 10. It's fine, but you're going to be frustrated. A lot of stuff works. That part of it doesn't.
I'm not going to be that frustrated. I bet you'll enjoy it.
You will enjoy it. It's good. It goes a little slow
by
in parts.
Way, you've seen two movies this week. Yeah. Can we talk about that?
Well, I saw Superman last week, but couldn't talk about it because we were doing stuff.
Okay, but still, you've seen two movies in a very short time.
Yeah.
You normally go years without seeing movies. It's very annoying. We have to dance around you while you're in studio. You've seen two movies in a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
How did you see a movie last night?
My oldest son wanted to see it. So it's the only way I can get away with it now is either go when my whole family's out of town
right.
in the morning.
Which happened recently.
Which happened when I went and saw Superman. Or my oldest wants to see it, so it's like, oh, I'm being a dad. I'm just helping out as a dad. It's what dads do. We're dad activities.
It's a
dad.
Good move. I have the movie theater move with my kids. Mm-hmm. It's a great move. Beltway Blitz is next. We'll cover the teams you care the most about today. And at 4:25, we got some burning NFL questions to get into. Plus, we got to talk about a vote tomorrow during, I would think, B. Mitch and Finley. Maybe right before we go on the air, we should find out whether or not the Commanders get the help they need from the D.C. City Council on the first of two votes. Got some details on that coming up this hour on The Fan.